from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
This hour is brought to you by EOC Audio, Chicagoland's leader in audio, video, networking, and home automation. EOCAudio.com.
I think our team has done a really good job of coming together. So that's an all everybody, you know, on task in terms of starting in April 15 and until now of bringing our team together. And I think that I trust the leadership of this team. I can feel the closeness and the bond that they're forming earlier than ever before. And I can just feel that with these guys. And that's not just coaches, that's players, that's leaders, that's everybody's staff, front office, everybody. So it's important that we're all on there. We've been very intentional about that, and very authentic in terms of our approach to that. And I think that's going to be a big part of it.
That's Matt Eberflus. And the Bears had a little issue at practice on Wednesday. So, Studs, you tell me, should we hear from Ryan Poles about depth first? Does that make sense?
I think that I'm trying to decide in my head.
You know the sound better than I do. I think
let's go with polls first, okay, because that happened first.
Okay,
and then
the news.
Yeah, and
okay,
then the news.
I think the other thing that I really learned this year is when you're intentional bringing in the right type of people, when you invest in relationships, you invest in time and bonding and creating this group and this culture. It makes cut down day extremely hard, emotional. Because you care about the guys and you want to see them be successful, but you know at the end of the day there's business decisions that have to happen, and you got to get this thing down to a 53-man roster, which was difficult. But I'm really proud of where we are to kick this season off. Significant improvements, which again makes me proud of the work that we've done here as an entire organization.
When we look at the receiver room and the way you overhauled that. The time you've been here, you got here, it was pretty bare. You had Moon, not much else. His production kind of dipped. You took a swing and miss on a trade, and now you got the room that you have now, whereas maybe 2 years ago you couldn't find four guys you felt really good about. Now you feel like you maybe only need four guys. You know what I mean? How do you go about overhauling that, and how do you feel about that process?
Yeah, I think the big thing is there's a level of patience in there. Because when you approach it different, if it's free agency or the draft, we really try to do the best available. And I remember that first year, that was a big question. Were you going to get a receiver? Were you going to get a receiver? And we didn't have the first round pick, and we end up with Brisker and Kyler. And really, we felt like that was the best available, and we knew that it was going to take time to really get all the pieces. And there's still space for us to improve as well. So we're just kind of in this kind of second phase of things, but really patience, letting the board kind of talk to us, and then being opportunistic, you know, with the trade, drafting Rome. There's a lot of cool things that happen. So, and we used every different kind of way to acquire that talent, which was great.
That 53-man roster, from what you inherited, what are you most proud of about this group and how they've come together?
Yeah, I'm proud of the process that we've set up. It's not just about acquiring the best talent, it's about acquiring the right talent. And I think that's what you see in this building. I think it's special. Like the group of guys, it's really special. I know I've talked a lot about that, but even when you go through cut down days and you're letting guys go and they're like, man, I just want to be here. Like I can feel it. I want to be a part of this thing. So it's not like I always look at it and I'm excited about it, but when you hear from people inside the building, but also outside, it kind of makes you feel really good about the progress that you've made. But a lot of hard work, a lot of time in developing the process so that it's sustainable.
You got a number of guys banged up on the offensive line today. We saw Bill Murray go off. How comfortable are you with the depth you have at that position?
This is the best depth I've ever had. Actually let one of the guys go on cut downs and was like, man, you did an excellent job. I wish, you know, we could keep you here. He's like, this is the deepest room I've ever been a part of. So we have more versatility, more depth. We got 10 guys. So I feel comfortable. Obviously you want your starting five to be healthy and ready to go, but I feel more confident in the depth of our line than I ever have before.
Sorry, back to the old line.
Yeah.
How good can that unit be? You made some moves this offseason. I don't think you can point at it and say you put a ton of resources into it. Like, how good can that group be?
I think that group can be really good. In terms of investing in it, I mean, Darnell was a first-round pick. We traded for Bates, who has versatility, paid Nate, who obviously needs to continue to work on just the dependability and consistency. Coleman Shelton's been a great addition. He's a glue guy for the up front. His ability to get everybody on the same page and then execute at a high level has been really good. I think Braxton's improved, and Tevin is playing his best ball too. So I think that group has the ability to be special. And as the season goes along, and the beautiful thing is all those guys strain. And you can see that in the preseason too, just trying to keep Caleb clean. It's important to him, and it's a really strong knit group, so it's good.
Probably the best depth I've ever had at the position discussing offensive line. That is Bears general manager Ryan Poles. Nothing against the reporters in that room, but I know I would have loved to have followed up on after he talked about Kyler Gordon and Jaquan Brisker. When he said we're in that second phase, how many phases are there?
Good question.
How many phases are there? Is second phase winning or is third phase winning? Is third phase win the Super Bowl?
Is this like the fourth year of the Matt Nagy offense?
It doesn't exist.
Or is this
Luke Getsy, it takes 17 games for an offense to come together? Like,
I would.
What?
If I'm piecing this together in my brain, I would assume first phase is the teardown. Right,
which he never fully acknowledged.
Well, of course, but I mean, a lot of GMs don't, you know, they don't want to say they're deliberately losing, right? But we could see it was a teardown. So that's the first phase, teardown and starting to build. Second phase, I would think, is moving, like winning, but maybe not Super Bowl caliber yet, right? And so third phase maybe is Super Bowl talent.
I'm sure you're right. I mean,
Adam Sadzinski's three phases of football.
Yeah, well, there's three phases. Uh-huh. Right? Actually, no, there's four phases. The fans are the fourth phase. I was telling Ray that.
That's what I said. I said the three phases of football. He said, there's four phases. I said, Studs, what do you mean?
Studs, and you're not on the team. Fans. You're not on the team.
They have a flag that says fourth phase.
You're not on the
Wait,
team.
Wait, what?
they used to anyway. Yeah, I don't know if they do anymore.
Phase? That was actually the...
That was a Lovey thing, right?
Yeah, it was a Lovey thing. The fans are the fourth phase. That was his bit.
So Lovey's Skynet.
No, Lovey is not. Although that would be funny too. Well. I know I exist. that would be great. Studs, I think you're probably reasonably correct.
Lawrence.
I would have probably wanted a quick follow up just to say, okay, the whole phase thing, Ryan. So that's great talking about the depth. Now let's get to what was reported in the Tribune. Now comes the challenge of staying healthy. Left guard Tevin Jenkins was limited during practice Wednesday. Ryan Bates continues to battle a shoulder injury that puts his availability for week one in question. You hear that? Puts his availability for week one in question. Rookie Kieran Amagaje wasn't cleared to begin practicing until 10 days ago after a lengthy recovery from quadriceps surgery last fall. And reserve interior lineman Bill Murray didn't finish practice Wednesday.
Too many people
leaving the Bears to navigate the end of that session with a handful of practice squad defensive players
Deshaun Mallory, Byron Cowart, and Jomri Kroma filling in on the second unit offensive line. Not great. That's my words, not great. The Bears had a few lingering injury absences at practice. Also, Keenan Allen, defensive tackle Zach Pickens, and running back Roschon Johnson, among those who didn't practice because of injury issues. Cornerback Jalen Johnson also remained absent, presumably for personal reasons. Defensive end Montez Sweat was limited. Poles expressed little concern about Allen, who said he was dealing with minor foot discomfort after a cleats issue. And Kevin Byard returned to practice, who after missing recent time. I hope Keenan Allen's foot is fine.
Yeah, that was one I didn't expect to see.
It's the issue isn't what caused it. Anything can cause an injury, whether it's cleats or something else. It can cause discomfort, can cause, but whatever it is, I'd like to know what the actual injury is. But it's, I don't like that Tevin Jenkins already is dealing with something, because when he deals with something, he misses time. That's been an ongoing thing with him. We know that Nate Davis is notoriously unreliable. It doesn't sound like Ryan Bates is going to be available.
Which is why I don't understand why he said that about his offensive line depth. The actions back up that Ryan Poles thought it, when you consider what happened with Tyree Carter when he waived him, and that was...
That's who he was talking about, right?
Right. Well, that was a concerning piece to me, because he's been available and he's seen a lot of playing time year to year. Maybe there was a roster bonus that I'm not accounting for that maybe was uncomfortable for them cap wise, something that, you know, might have led to that. But it's one thing to say it, it's one thing to wish cast it, but I just need to see this put in practice, that you think some of these people who typically have not been available are going to be.
Everything is great on paper. Everything's great on that board, on that wall in your office, until you start playing football.
The guard position alone, and you don't necessarily 100% know about your center, right? We're still working that through. So what exactly says this gives me confidence?
I think we'll be confident when we see the starting players on the field. And the great thing about bragging about depth on the offensive line is you hope you never have to see it.
But you inevitably do.
I know you do.
Every year you do. We have this conversation every year since I've started hosting here.
The difference is, on the defensive line, depth matters every game because you play a lot of guys.
Well, you sub a lot of guys.
That's what I mean.
We still don't know how many snaps Montez Sweat expects to play this season. And you hope that answers more, because we talked about the critical third down piece and him not being on the field.
I don't mind depth playing on the defensive front seven. That's
rotate
common.
Him in and out,
bring
yeah.
him in, and as Eberflus says, make sure guys can throw their fastballs. You keep them fresh, especially in the warmer months. But they don't traditionally do that on the offensive line. They don't,
right.
Because the coordination and the teamwork is such.
Continuity.
Not just the continuity game to game or play to play, it's the number of things that have to be done. It's not just beat your guy.
For a rookie quarterback,
yep. Okay.
That still matters.
Yeah.
I still want him in the best environment possible.
So, and I worry about these things so you don't have to. That's been my job. I take on a lot of the worrying, and I worry for you. It's not panic peddling. I'll handle it. I'll handle the Bears' injury worry. Although, what was the quote from Richard Hightower? I wrote it down.
We like him a lot.
No, I know. We like him a lot.
Points is how you win games.
That's good.
That's
write
what
that
I
down.
Wrote down.
He's not wrong
yeah.
about that.
Points is, I wrote it down. Points is how you win games.
See, there's certain things about which I will worry, and certain things about which I want Richard Hightower to worry. And when he says people think that it's snap, hold, kick, and the ball goes through the uprights. See, yes, that's all I want to think about. And Coach Hightower, that when the TV's on, Richard, that's exactly what I want.
Don't talk about the labor. Just show me the baby.
Just snap, hold, kick, ball goes through the uprights. That's a plan. And you're telling me, Ev, that I know that there's everything else involved, and the wind and the laces and the tilt of the ball and the leg swing and the plant foot and all that, but I don't have to think about that.
What are you talking about? As a show, we're obsessed with it all the time.
Only if it doesn't work. Only if it doesn't work. or if some guy has to make some, and if a guy does have to make a crazy hold because of a bad snap, you don't want that either.
Which we've seen.
I know. So just stick with that. Stick with that plan. You worry about everything else. But when it comes to these guys not being healthy and taking up, you know, time off of practice, okay. All right. I'm telling you.
What do you mean? Okay. That was a very dad-like okay.
We'll see, as my dad would always say. We'll see.
That's not a vote of confidence either.
It can be. It's neither. It's neutral. I don't want to see offensive line depth tested.
Wait, were we talking about this? Pleasant ways to not validate or not agree with somebody? It was like, oh that's a valid point, or I'll take that under consideration.
No, what was it? It wasn't that's interesting.
That's a story we're continuing to track. What was it?
Bears. No, you said it.
I don't think it was Bears, but it could be.
Didn't you say it was something you said to a listener at some point? Or that's
maybe that was Lawrence.
It might have been Lawrence who said something like that.
Lawrence is always the one with the points.
Well, and he's got tact. Yeah, which is, it's can be something.
I'll take that under advisement or something.
It
wasn't that formal.
Flick.
Don't. Ow. It wasn't as formal as I'll take that under advisement. It was something like that. That's something to consider or something like that.
That's something to consider.
It was something like that.
Heard. Word.
Yes. So, or duly noted or something. I don't know.
Noted. Noted is good because it acknowledges, but it doesn't commit.
So we recently
do you have plans on Friday? Noted. Mm-hmm. No, I don't think it works that way. Still working through that one.
Well, is that somebody hitting on you?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, I'm just being ridiculous.
Okay, if asking
I make a lot of jokes
Friday.
About my social life that don't actually apply to it just because it's silly.
If somebody says, do you have plans on Friday?
My life is pretty typical.
Ah, that's what, thank you, Robert in Naperville. It was, you may be right.
You may be right.
Yes, that was.
That sounds like the most Chris Ronji phrase ever. It doesn't commit to anything, but it's, yes, 100%. Most Chris Ronji phrase ever is, you may be right. But deep down, he knows you're wrong.
You may be right.
Layla, yeah. Go ahead. Call me daddy.
Never in a million years, not happening.
Daddy needs a sleep.
Still disgusting. My ears are bleeding.
We had a lovely time when we were at the Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas as they were launching their Survivor pool and their all the football stuff.
It was pretty fun.
And now we're getting close to things getting real, and I don't know how the sharps are moving some of the numbers, if it shakes out from some of the amateurs out there. But Joe Ostrowski is coming up next.
He's in the pool, I think. Ray?
Oh, he is.
Is that right?
The Circa Survivor.
Oh, I thought you meant literally in the pool.
No, well, he might be.
Oh, no, I know he's in Circa Survivor. He had proxies running around placing thousands of dollars worth of bets for him.
Proxy.
Yeah. He had the prosecutioner was out there getting it done for him. So Joe Ostrowski has thoughts on everything to come this weekend and beyond. So keep it here on the
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Score.
You're listening to Bernstein and Holmes, middays 10 to 2, on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com in Odyssey Station.
I have a daily sports betting show.
We couldn't live without Joe Ostrowski.
Oh, yeah, he's got a lot of Herbert Hoover in him. I got to tell you that much.
No, he's got a lot more than that. He has wagertainment information. He has tips and notes for you. He is Joe Ostrowski, BetQL Daily, 8 to 11 a.m. weekdays, the BetQL Network. Early odds, 8 to 9 a.m. Saturdays on The Score, and with us right now on the Score Hotline, brought to you by Circa Resort and Casino, CircaLasVegas.com, twitch.tv/Chicago670. The Score. Joe, you had our producer, you know, who is, let me tell you something. Ray Diaz is the hardest working producer out there and is, you know, he's trying to put together on the fly. It's hard to do remote shows. And yet, here he is hauling around bags of thousands of dollars to get your bets down. I hope you took good care of him.
Yeah, yes, I did. Okay. That was intended for him to do after the show. But yeah, I like to make my donation. I'm obsessed with Survivor. Circa released a docuseries following the people that were in the running last year. It's hilarious. Everybody thinks they have it figured out. And then the NFL happens and crazy upsets. It's fun, man. Yeah, I do appreciate Ray getting me in there. So we'll see. I'm already stressing. Hey, I've got a few spots on Circa Survivor because I'm going to be the winner.
I'm actually pretty entertained by this. I got to check it out. I know it's on their YouTube channel. But
you should.
The way people get so competitive over things that they just cannot control, that right. aspect of it really entertains me.
Well, last year, there are a lot of levels to this. There were some amazing stories. There was a guy that won a piece of the big prize last year. I think he walked away with over $2 million. But he was just so upset because the previous week he lost his mother. And on the Thanksgiving game, he meant to pick the Lions. He picked the Packers and he thought he was out. And then he gets a call from a proxy. He's like, are you going to get your pick in? He's like, what are you talking about? He misclicked and he got the right pick. And then he goes all the way to the end and wins $2.3 million.
He misclicked.
He misclicked. So he stayed in it and then he wins. It was one of the winners. There were a few of them. There was this guy. He went by the name Golden Boy. I guess he's a poker player. He's in this as well. When it was down to 10, 11 people, everybody was begging him, please, let's chop the $8-9 million. Please, we've got to do it. They vote. It's got to be unanimous.
And one guy didn't.
Refused. That was him. That was him. And he was in there saying, I'm the best bettor in the world. Guess what? He walked away with $0. He ended up losing.
Yeah, Derek was telling us about that. Derek Stevens last week. Yeah. Hubris. Hubris is a powerful drug.
Mm-hmm. Okay, now we are getting closer to the season, and is this when more smart money comes in or dumb money comes in?
That's a good question. It depends what we're talking about. So usually I was expecting a Hard Knocks bump, but what's happened with the Bears is the bump just never stopped. It feels like it all happened before we even got to Hard Knocks. It was 8.5 for the win total. We talked about that many, many months ago, even before Caleb Williams was a Bear. And that was, you know, an even bet on both sides. And then it became juiced. And now a lot of books are at 9.5, going up a full win just based off all of the action that we've seen. Anytime Caleb Williams does anything in these preseason games, the line is adjusting a little bit. It was 3.5 most of the offseason for week one against the Tennessee Titans. And now we're out to 4.5, and that's juiced. We might end up getting to 5, which is pretty unheard of for a quarterback making their debut and to be favored by more than a field goal. So that's where we're at on the Bears. Eberflus, still the co-favorite now with Jim Harbaugh for the coach of the year. Caleb, the runaway favorite for the offensive rookie of the year. A lot of action coming in on the Bears, but I can't sit here and say that it's because of Hard Knocks. Once they drafted Caleb, it just hasn't stopped.
That makes a lot of sense. I want to know what you think about the Rookie of the Year situation, because I knew it was jam-packed in the American League, but I didn't even think the National League would be in question, and you're telling me there's a chance Paul Skeens might not be that guy?
Paul Skeens isn't the favorite anymore. Isn't that amazing? That we go from him starting the All-Star game as a rookie, for my money, one of the top two or three stories all season long and all of baseball, all the hype, they keep him down. People are upset about that. It was a few weeks ago, minus 5,000. The books were basically saying it's over. it's going to be Skeens. And now he's the second favorite behind Jackson Merrill. And the other day against the Cubs, when he gave up a few runs early in the game, the NL Rookie of the Year odds went haywire. Like, it was pretty close between Merrill and Skeens. And then Merrill jumps way ahead. Right now, he's minus 650 favorite because of his late game heroics lately and the run that he's on. Minus 650, and Paul Skeens is plus 300. There's rumors about him getting shut down. The season's over for them. What's the upside in continuing to pitch Skeens at this point? So the bettors are jumping ahead of it. They're thinking Merrill's the guy. That after all this, after this season that Skeens has put together, I think he's got a 2.23 ERA at this point, all the strikeouts, that it looks like he's not even going to win the Rookie of the Year award.
That's wild. And then I think in the American League, it's worth discussing, because I was looking up Wyatt Langford just to see where he was, you know, in the discussion, and it's a packed house.
Yeah, so Couser's the favorite. I don't know that he should be the favorite by this much. BetMGM has minus 1,000, and it still feels like it's up for grabs. Earlier this week, MLB.com posted a straw poll with their baseball writers, just some of them that do vote on this, just about, okay, what would you do right now for the two Rookie of the Years? And yes, Couser had the most amount of votes, but Abreu on the Red Sox was getting some votes. Mason Miller was getting some votes. And those are players that are in that 20-30 to 1 range. So I would not sit here and say that it's completely over with Couser, even though he's the heavy favorite.
Is it true the White Sox under is hit?
Yeah, it already hit.
So that's done. It's over.
What was
so
the this, under?
What was it?
The 60 and a half when we were laughing about how yes. low it was.
Oh, my God.
My God.
And yes.
So yeah, we're not in September. Win out.
It could win out. Yes. Correct. It could win out. Yeah, they've got that locked in with their current record of 31 and 104 with 27 games left. I think when it clinched, there were like 30 games left in the season. That's under. They now, with all these sports books, there's so many markets. They update these win totals on a daily basis. So right. The White Sox updated win total. What do you think? Where are we at? What are we going to get to?
I think they're gonna pass, so to speak, the Mets. 38? I really do. I think it's that bleak.
It's a sharp number. 38.5 is the number.
Nailed it.
38.5.
That they're only going to get 7 more wins. This month.
The last 27 games.
That's a reach.
Yeah, it is. It's ridiculous. Anytime it's less than, say, minus 200, you've got to take the favorite. They find ways. It's unreal. I was looking at Flexen. So the last... So he's pitched in 28 games this year.
Oh, it's bad.
They've won 2 of the 28 games he's pitched in. They've lost the last 20 he's pitched in. When Flexen is going, it probably doesn't matter what the price is. You just want to go on the other side. But 38.5 is a number.
Okay. Now, what do we learn from early college football? There aren't a lot of meaningful games. A lot of these are the non-conference purchased victories. But what do you start to learn? What do you look for?
Yeah. Last weekend in week 0, it was a lot of underdogs that ended up hitting. I think that's notable. Sometimes early in the season with all the changes, especially the transfer portal, that is something to take a look at. The other idea with the totals and the unders hitting is that the pace of play has slowed down a little bit. Now there's the communication with the coaches and the quarterbacks, it goes on for a longer period of time, so there isn't as much rushing to get to the next play. Some interesting matchups this weekend. You've got Miami going up against Florida. Miami's a short favorite. They've got by far the most talents in the ACC. And then on the Florida side, Napier's about to get fired. I mean, that's the chatter there. When is he going to get fired? So it's always, you know, do you want to trust Mario Cristobal? The Sharps are betting Florida. They're taking the home underdog and the swamp, but Miami should win that game. That number's 2.5. Notre Dame and Texas A&M, that was a pick 'em all summer. And now it's Texas A&M favored by 3. One of the big reasons Notre Dame losing their tackle. It was the replacement for Joe Alt. He goes down to an injury. So it's been ticking more and more towards the Texas A&M side. Riley Leonard, according to all reports, he's looked good in the offseason. Might be some value on the three, but Notre Dame, nine of their starters returning on defense. I expect that to be a low-scoring game. So the under 46 has been a pretty popular play.
Yeah, that's I just am annoyed by the entire situation.
Which one?
You know how it is. There are teams that just get into the poll because of proximity. Like, let's not forget what happened to A&M last season. They're going to be paying Jimbo Fisher for decades, relatively speaking.
Yep. Yep. Pulled up, was 70-some million they're giving him to go away?
77?
Oh.
He gets the whole contract?
Yeah. Unreal. They don't care.
No. They spend it on a lot worse things there, too, sometimes. So that might be a good one.
So the Bears' win total might be 9.5.
That's, I said 10. Yeah.
That's getting
bold.
Yeah. Like that looks a little frothy to me.
When we started the conversation, 8.5 and it's a pick 'em. Okay, I was cool with the over. But now, and even if you find an 8.5, you've got to pay the price. It is, you know, -180, something like that. So yeah, started to touch 9 at some books. If you want plus money, you're gonna have to go to 9.5. My issue is you're still expected to be the third place team. The Bears can have a very good year, a good year for Caleb Williams and all the changes on offense, and be in third place, trailing the Lions and, of course, the Packers. But that's kind of that's tight. There isn't much wiggle room for you to get over 9, 9.5, looking for double-digit wins as the third-place team. You're basically calling out, okay, I think they're going to be first or second. And then you might as well take them to win the division or make the playoffs.
Yeah, and Matt Eberflus to be coach of the year.
Yes.
Like if you're taking the over on this, you might get better value on the Matt Eberflus coach of the year bet. See, I'm learning these things, Joe.
Yep. There are other ways to bet it. Instead of just saying, locking yourself in, okay, I've got to do the win total, but now it's juiced. I don't really want to do it. Well, do something else. All of these other ones are plus money. The Eberflus is 10-1. Yeah, he's the favorite, but he is 10-1, yeah. And you get the hard knocks angles and all that.
And then
such
Caleb Williams,
diplomatic answer.
Right, and then Caleb Williams is offensive rookie of the year, too, if they get 10 wins, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 100%. There is a gap. I find that to be interesting, that you do have this ceiling with Jaden Daniels, but Caleb is plus 120, plus 130, and then Daniels is in that 5-1, 6-1 range for the Commanders.
Oh, this is where I can apply the phrase that we were talking about. You may be right.
Joe, thank you. Have a wonderful weekend.
Thanks, Joe.
You guys too. Thanks.
That is Joe Ostrowski. Always interesting stuff from him. You do not have to be a gambler to learn a lot about sports listening to that segment.
Or gambler.
Now, I don't even know what to say to tease what you have. I don't know the story. All I know is you're giggling to yourself reading about the story.
I found this story a couple days ago. And if there were a checklist of things for Dan to have a high noon story, it checks all of the boxes. I don't know how. It just did. And really,
did a fisherman steal an owl in a stupid crime?
So
at Topgolf,
yes, in Naperville. So it also is a reflection of America.
Okay,
and it's very rare that you get all of these things.
All right, then I'll go first with a quickie that I have. I saw a headline about a new fast food item about which I got super excited, and then I read on and I was let down.
That's just every day.
That's next
on the score.
Dan Bernstein, Lawrence Holmes, middays 10 to 2 on 670 The Score and 670thescore.com in Odyssey Station.
I'll be back this way on Monday. We'll settle this then. Right there, out in the street, in front of the Palace Saloon.
Yeah, right. When? High noon?
R.I.P. to the first segment. We shall never speak of it again.
The other segments involved discussing the Cubs' lucky charm of the Taylor Swift candle.
That triggered some people.
Wow. My goodness. What's not to like about Taylor Swift?
The thing is, if you're listening to us, then you probably aren't as triggered because you're listening to us, if you know what I'm saying.
There's nothing to not like about Taylor Swift. She's really good at her job.
But she's also in her mid-30s and has a job and doesn't need men's approval, so they can't handle it.
She's also a really cool person.
I've noticed some similarities in the criticisms that certain people get.
We heard from...
across the board.
Richard Hightower.
I think it's not really about you.
I was worrying about Bears injuries, so you don't have to. And Joe Ostrowski joined us as well.
It's time.
All right, before we get to your special piece here, I saw this and I went, oh, this is really cool. SpongeBob SquarePants, Krabby Patty. You know it, and it's what they eat at the Krusty Krab. It's what they serve, and we sort of presume we know what it is. Wendy's and Paramount are reportedly bringing the fictional undersea fast food meal to life on the chain's menu for a special little one-off limited-time collaboration.
Ooh!
Starting October 8th in celebration of the hit Nickelodeon TV show's 25th anniversary.
Oh.
And I got really excited.
SpongeBob now, is 25.
And Zoe wasn't really into SpongeBob. Jason was. Jason liked SpongeBob when he was a toddler. Are Krabby Patties real? And I said, they can be if we want them to be. And he said, really? I said, why don't we make Krabby Patties? And he got all excited. And we did. And we made Krabby Patties. And I bought the good canned lump crab meat. And we put everything together in a little bit of shallot and breadcrumb. And we... little egg and a little bit of Tony Sacheri's in there. And we got buns and the whole thing. And we fried them up. And I got all excited. I said, how are they? And he said, they're okay. He was like, they're fine.
Parenting.
But I was so excited. I'm like, look, we made Krabby Patties. Aren't you excited? Not really.
That sounds really good, actually. A little crab cake sandwich.
That's what I thought. I thought it was really
butter,
good.
Butter, lettuce, and some nice little
tomato. What an ungrateful child.
And he finished his parenting.
That's a refined palate for a kid, man. To like a crab cake sandwich.
No, he did. He said
that's a refined palate.
He said it was fine. Well, that was when his favorite food was octopus, and all he wanted to eat was octopus.
Oh, so he did have a refined palate.
He would eat any kind, like the canned... garlic Goya octopus.
Oh my God. I have updates for you from Trader Joe's friends. Friends, I have info.
What?
New tinned fish.
New tinned fish?
Yep. Calamari and mussels.
Wait, is this like the Patagonia brand?
No, they're better. Okay. Yeah, no, the calamari is in like this really festive looking tin.
Ooh,
I'm in.
We got fish in tins.
We have fish in tins. So many fish in tins.
Here we go.
We got weights in fish.
There we go.
Here's the problem, though. So I read this. I thought, great.
Why?
Because they knew the guys were doing it.
Yeah, because it was appalling. Like the weight of the fish didn't make any sense.
Yeah, it was a 19-inch walleye that weighed like 30 pounds.
That's impossible.
Right.
And here we go is because they're about to put hands
on
him.
Here we go is the guy had to run to his truck.
Yeah.
Because they were
going
to kill him.
Yeah, there are consequences to cheating.
This sounds great that they can do a nice little Krabby Patty and it'd be fun. But you know what it is?
What?
It's a cheeseburger topped with what they call a secret Krabby Patty sauce.
Old Bay and something?
But come on.
Thousand Island?
If you're going to do this, do it.
All of the islands?
Make a creepy. And I know it might be expensive, but if you're going to, what do you pay for the walleye sandwich at Culver's?
Not enough.
$12? Or when they have the walleye basket? I'll pay for it. If Wendy's wanted to do a legit Krabby Patty and not like the fake crab, the Joe Dredge stuff that he used to love. Not the surimi garbage haddock with paint on it.
How dare you? Haddock is good.
Not as crab, it's not. Haddock is fine if it's haddock.
It's still haddock either way.
Not tonight, honey. I have a haddock.
Oh, my God. Well, if it isn't a good high noon story for Dan. Bald eagles, as we know, are a protected species. They are the emblem of America. They're cool looking. They just sit there and look cool. When they fly, they look even more cool. Their eggs are big. They care about other eagles' eggs. They'll even sit on rocks when they feel the need.
And they can be jerks.
They can be, but hey, bald eagles, just like people, have multitudes. Another reason, America. Right. We love a good bald eagle. Remember the time they were sitting, chilling on a piece of ice, floating in a river because it's metal? Bald eagles are pretty awesome. Mm-hmm. They just look cool all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And we hate it whenever birds get injured. It's really upsetting. You know, especially like, for example, the piping plovers, like they're an endangered species as well. You want your birds to live. And anytime a bald eagle is hurt or dies, it's news, right? So it's upsetting when the Missouri Department of Conservation captured a bald eagle along the boundary of Wilson's Creek National Battlefield. And they thought it was injured. No, it was just too fat.
Oh, this happened with an owl.
It ate a raccoon.
Wait, what?
Yeah. This bald eagle is completely American. It's not injured. It's just fat.
I ain't going nowhere.
We all
been there. And I washed myself with a rag on a stick.
So Wilson's Creek National Battlefield in Missouri, of all things, Middle America, posted the pictures of an X-ray, and they found a raccoon paw.
It ate the whole thing?
Yeah.
Like a python?
Yes. Picture one. Ray of a bald eagle shows the outline of a raccoon paw inside its stomach. Picture two. X-ray of the back of the bald eagle. Its wing, its head, its leg bones are visible. Its distended stomach is circled. He just had a food baby. In an open field of bog.
Honey, where's the brioski?
So then they let him go, and he's like, oh, man, he had the itis.
It must be Eagle Man.
I've got something for you.
I didn't want to ruin it by mentioning that, but it really did apply.
But do you have...
Look at those low rates.
So,
do you have bicarbonate of soda for me?
So the post said... The quote is, the bird, originally reported to be injured, was found to be healthy but engorged with raccoon.
I'm good.
In other words, it was too fat to fly.
Oh, just give me a little bit of time here.
And, I really outdid myself there.
Ooh, yeah. You have any ginger ale? I need a ginger ale and a bendy straw in one of those Rubbermaid cups. You know the one I like.
And the eagle looks somewhat annoyed. Like, I think the eagle's a little mad at itself, you know, because you think it's a good idea for a while, but then you realize the consequences. And the next thing you know, you just gain too much eagle weight. Just eagles, not me. Nope.
This happened. We did a story like this. Was it? I want to say.
Too fat.
There was something similar a couple of years ago with an owl, and an owl had found a nest of rats, and it ate all of them.
The eagle, the owl was like, jackpot.
Yes, but should I stop eating? Nope. And the owl, they said, the same thing. They thought it was hurt. And the owl was like, I'm full.
But guys, fat birds are the cutest. They're the fluffiest. They seem to look the most content. Like, fat birds are adorable. And yes, I know it was Fat Bear Week, too. And that's a whole deal. I forgot about that part of the story. Do we want to talk about Fat Bear Week as well? That happened.
It already happened already at the Katmai National Park?
Another single middle-aged woman who didn't have to worry about children or anybody else's approval decided to focus on herself in one Fat Bear Week. You see a theme here?
That's high noon. We do it most days around this time.
We have a new overlord, right? I think it's Fat Eagle.
Fat Eagle?
Fat Eagle rules. Fat Eagle is all of us.
They need to adjust like the country emblem with the eagle like facing one way, just a fat eagle on the ground.
They had a picture of Fat Eagle facing one way, and he looks so cute.
And actually,
that's the new country.
Like, round
that's
fluffy.
The new country emblem.
I don't know if Fat Eagle is like an IPA or a barbecue joint.
It's both. Everything.
It's a brew pub
or a
it's
biker a bar. Yeah.
I mean, but like a whole raccoon paw in your stomach.
Oof. And honestly, if they're eating anything but fish, it's usually fairly desperate because their first choice is always fish.
Well, he got the memo.
That's like the one. Remember when there was Eagle Cam in Washington, D.C., not far from the White House? And everyone's like, oh, cute, cute, cute. And then one day the eagle showed up to the nest to feed the eaglets with his huge cat.
Sorry, guys.
And they just started, cat. And they just started tearing into it. And everyone's like, oh, my goodness. Like, what do you think? Of course it's going to go grab a cat. It's hungry. It's an eagle. I didn't know about the raccoon thing. And I know that only great horned owls will eat a skunk. That happens around here all the time.
All right. Well, I'm all for the food chain, but I'm also all for healthy ecosystems. And I'm just really proud of all the fat bears and fat eagles this week. I think you guys are great. Keep it up.
847 says, that's my CIA nickname when I become president of the United States.
Fat Eagle? Guys, Fat Eagle is our overlord, okay? Like, I applaud Fat Eagle. Yes. Fat Eagle really, really killed it this week.
All right, Kevin Fishbane's literally next. Talking Bears on the Score.
I've got something for you.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Horse wrap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.